Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. Put another dime in the jar, by the way. It's the Odyssey app, not the radio.com application. Now, can I give you a little inside radio on why that happened? So we were supposed to have a certain guest join us who's a good friend of the show, Steve Sands. And Sands is supposed to come on right at 7:20 p.m. Eastern in order to preview the Masters. With all that's going on with Tiger Woods and the Masters coverage, some of his TV hits got pushed back a little bit. And he's texted me right before the start of the show. And we love Sands. He's a good friend. And I was actually a camp counselor for his children at a sleepaway camp called Pine Forest Camp. And way back in the day, probably like 1943, my father was Sands's camp counselor. So anything that Steve Sands does will never upset me. But when it happens 2 minutes before the show, he goes, "Don't mean to do this. I have to push it back." And I'm texting with him right before we go back on the air. Well, I could do this time, that time, this time, this time, or that time. You kind of then just get on the air and go, "Okay, I'm still texting him while I'm saying, nor the radio.com application, but now we know it's the Odyssey app." Anyway, though, we're going to have a fun show today. Always give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, or on our network's account at CBS Sports Radio. Trace riding shotgun with me. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. We need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can. We'll have two more guests for you, too. We'll find out, to be determined, on Steve Sands. That's a tradition really unlike any other. The four majors out of the year, we will always have, and last year three, we'll always have Steve Sands on from the Golf Channel, NBC Sports, to break it all down. We will be joined at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, by the national championship winning head coach at Baylor. Scott Drew will stop by. And at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, he won't hear his name called on the Thursday night of the draft. He probably may hear his name called late on Friday, if not Friday, early coming up on Saturday. Kellen Mond, the former quarterback, will join us too, where he did play his college ball at Texas A&M, where he was the former quarterback and now getting set to find out where he's going to be playing in the year of 2021, or maybe waiting and learning and then eventually playing a year or two from now. Big show. Going to have a lot of fun as we always do. And we rock and roll all the way up until they tell us to get off the air at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, when the JR Sport Brief has to come your way on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Sirius XM Channel 206. And wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. The brand new Odyssey app. See how we have fun even when I mess up at my own expense? That's why I like doing this show, because I could laugh at myself, and I could tell you when I mess something up. How about you, Trace? Do you like to laugh at yourself? Do you like to say when you're wrong?
Oh, always. Always.
I don't know. I don't know if you're telling the truth there.
What? I always have a good time.
We're really going to find out about that coming up later on in the program. Time to be determined, so you have to stay tuned. I took 10 Jeopardy sports questions. Everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that. He's on Jeopardy. Should he be the next Jeopardy host? Should he replace the late, great Alex Trebek? Well, I took 10 questions that were on Jeopardy, some easy, some, I guess you could say tough. You never know, because when it's on your feet in the moment and you got to give the answer within 5 to 10 seconds, sometimes the obvious does not end up being said and being given on the answer. We're going to put kind of your sports knowledge to the test later, though, Ryan Tracy. 10 questions, and you said earlier to me you think you'll put the over-under at 5.5. Now, you didn't tell me, is that going to be an over or an under? I just asked you today, what's your over-under on the questions, and you said 5.5. You didn't tell me if that was going to be over, if it was going to be under. I'm assuming you think you're going to get 6 out of 10, which would be 60%, right?
I voted under.
Oh, you voted under.
Oh, yeah. I don't have much confidence. If I set the over and have it 5.5, because if I get 5 right, I'm going to be pumped.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm terrible at trivia.
And if you get 6, you're doing backflips?
Oh, boy. Watch out. Let me buy the lotto tickets tonight.
How many producers do you think at CBS Sports Radio, if we took Mraz in the morning, if we took D-Ben for writer, if then... You know, forget Rome's crew, because there's so many producers on that show and we don't get to see them because they're out in L.A. Then let's say we take Samter from Tiki and Tierney, Edinger from Amy, and then Stu from JR. Do you think in a trivia contest, if I gave you all the same questions, you would at least finish in the top two? I'll say one other person beats you.
No chance.
No, not a shot.
No.
Who do you think would win that?
Tom. Totally.
Oh, yeah. Probably, I would say either D-Ben or Samter, right? Well, Mraz got to win, right? He is an on-air talent. He's an on-air talent producer.
He does have a weird, I could easily see him remembering like random sports facts. I will give the lean, especially because me and Tom actually have competed in trivia before.
Oh, have you? Was that a Bill Ryder segment?
It was.
Who won?
Tom won most of the time. Also,
what was that, a daily thing?
I don't think we actually went ever against each other because I was never here when he was. No, just be like once a month.
Oh, okay. So, for example, Bill would be here on, what, a Tuesday? All right, here are the 5 questions to D-Ben, and then on a Wednesday, here are the 5 questions to Trace.
He usually put us against Stu because Stu was the pinata, to be nice. He was worse than me. So I'll finish second worst. Stu, I think, would finish worst.
Okay, so you want to be last.
That's it. That's true.
All right, that's fine.
I don't think I finished last.
Well, we're going to kind of put your cabeza to the test, and we're going to see what kind of knowledge you have. Now, you got to remember, these are sports Jeopardy questions. How many times do we see people that are really erudite on Jeopardy and they're answering questions about fossils, they're answering questions about science and history and things that are actually important, and then something very easy comes about, like, who was the famous Chicago Bull that wore the number 23 and had a famous shoe brand? And it would be silence, and no one would be able to tell you that's Michael Jordan. Or, who is the home run king in Major League Baseball? Actually, it's a controversial topic. From what the record books say, Barry Bonds. And then a bunch of baseball writers are probably screaming, and baseball purists, still not Barry Bonds. All right, so we'll do that later on in the program. I got to start you off with the list that I saw yesterday. And I saw this list, and my first reaction was, how do 3 NBA experts for ESPN put LaMelo Ball as the 3rd best player that are, they did a top 25 list under 25. So how'd they have him at number 3? That when I first saw the way that was being blasted around social media, I go, that doesn't make sense. LaMelo Ball, I think he has a bright future. I think he's very talented. He captivated a lot of fans this year. He's only played 41 games, though, in his career, and now he's going to be out for the season. So how do you put him in at number 3? Then I elected to do something and do a little more research and read beyond what is actually the tweet and what was actually going viral. And this list that the three NBA insiders did put together for ESPN was its 25-year-old players under that are 25 or under, the top 25, 25 or under, and how they project them to be going into the future. Still, to put LaMelo Ball there at three with some other players that have already accomplished a lot, and remember with how early guys get in the league with one-and-dones and how that thing does work out, you have some guys on this list that you go, wow, that guy's 20, 25 or 25 and below. And we've seen him not only play a few years, we've seen those players have big moments in the postseason. Now, I'll give you the top five on this list. Luka, Zion Williamson, LaMelo Ball, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. After 41 games, just going off that top five, before we forget and before we get into who was forgotten in the top five, in my opinion, how is Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell? Donovan Mitchell, who had a great postseason moment last year, a great postseason series. For a little bit this year, he was in the MVP conversation. We've seen what the Jazz have been able to do. I know people like to disrespect the Utah Jazz, and we saw what LeBron James did say about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert at the All-Star break when they did the All-Star break draft. How are we projecting right now LaMelo Ball to have a better career than Donovan Mitchell? How are we projecting LaMelo Ball right now to have a better career than Jason Tatum? That doesn't make sense to me. Now, when I first saw this, I only saw the top five. I didn't see the top 25, and then I eventually looked at the top 25. And I was kind of alarmed that no Devin Booker. And the other name that I thought of, too, not that he should have been in the top five, but definitely in the top 10. How about Trae Young and what he's doing with the Atlanta Hawks ever since they made that coaching change with Nate McMillan? That doesn't make sense to me. Now, Trae Young ends up being at 16. Devin Booker is at 8. I'll give you the top 15. I won't give you all 25. Ja Morant. So Trae Young, not even the top 15. 25 players under 25 and how they project into the future. Ja Morant at 15. Michael Porter Jr. at 14. They put Jamal Murray, who was awesome in the postseason, going toe-to-toe with Donovan Mitchell last year. And we saw what he was able to do on that comeback up against the Los Angeles Clippers when they were down 3-1. Did it twice. Seemed as if he had a 50-point game every night in the postseason. How are you going to tell me that when you project Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, it's only, and they're both in the same team, so it works out fine for Denver. How is there only a one-spot difference? I would have expected Jamal Murray to be a little bit higher up on that list. Jaylen Brown at 12, Brandon Ingram at 11, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 10, Bam Adebayo at 9, Devin Booker at 8, Ben Simmons at 7. You know, I'm actually happy this guy is as early as he is on this list, and De'Aaron Fox, because I think De'Aaron Fox is criminally underrated in the NBA because he plays for the Kings, just what everyone does. It's kind of like the Damian Lillard effect, where you're having greatness, but no one actually appreciates and talks about your greatness. People just go, oh, well, De'Aaron Fox, when is he going to try to get his way out of Sacramento? It's the same thing with Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard's playing MVP ball right now. And what does everyone continuously say about Damian Lillard, even though countless amount of times he says he wants to stay, he is staying, and he signs contract, all that. And I know a contract doesn't mean much in the NBA, but Terry Stouts joined us last year, and he said we just laugh at that stuff. We laugh at all the speculation, because how many times does someone have to say they want to stay, and they do stay, and people still try to get him to leave? And I even go back, remember Draymond Green when he got fined on the NBA on TNT? The same thing happened with Devin Booker. Draymond Green said, oh, he's got to get out of Phoenix. Well, how's that looking this year, Draymond Green? I know that the Warriors won last night. No Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Bucks. And what was Milwaukee doing down the stretch? And what was Milwaukee doing on that inbounds play with 7 seconds to go? I've seen youth league teams draw up a better scenario and execute a play better than what the Bucks failed to do in the final 7 seconds of that game. So whenever you have a team in a smaller market and you have a very good player like a Devin Booker, like a De'Aaron Fox, they either don't get their credit, they don't get their shine, and Damian Lillard now gets his shine, or it turns into on all the talking shows like ours, but you know, I don't consider us necessarily all the talking head shows like what you see on TV. I think there's a difference. But in a lot of these shows, it becomes, oh, this player needs to move on. This player needs to force a trade. And I get that's part of the NBA cycle. And really, the NBA offseason, all the drama off the court, all the trades, free agency, that's what really makes the NBA. Like, if you think about it, how many times are people really breaking down the NBA regular season games? Not often. It's more so, what drama do you have? And what player's trying to get traded? Or what player's coming back from injury? Or what player did something on social media? That's what it's all about. But when I look at this list, and I like LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is a complete player. But to right now, with what others have already accomplished, and knowing already what others have accomplished, to project him into the future as the third best player, and he'll be the third best player under 25, I can't do that. Now, I was curious, because there was that conversation who was going to win Rookie of the Year, right? LaMelo Ball, or was it going to be Anthony Edwards? When I saw that LaMelo was three and I finally got the understanding that this was a list projecting into the future, I thought to myself, well, where's Anthony Edwards? They put Anthony Edwards at 19. If you're projecting into the future, has LaMelo Ball this year been that much better than Anthony Edwards, where there is a sizable difference from 3 to 19? That's another thing to think about. Now, I get what happens with these lists. But what do you make a list for? You make a list to get a reaction. There's going to be juicy things on a list. How many times when we do a mock draft, we go, all right, let's try to pick something that's a little bit different. Or when you're filling out an NCAA tournament bracket, you may have never watched Abilene Christian. I know they ended up winning their first round game, but maybe you take Abilene Christian because you wanted an upset. You wanted something juicy. These are only three NBA insiders that did this. Bobby Marks, Kevin Pelton, and Mike Schmitz. And they just kind of took the averages and then put those numbers in from their three lists to make a top 25. I did see on this Nesson article, New England Sports Network, that Bobby Marks put Tatum, Jason Tatum, who's been a stud. He put him at number 13 on his ballot. Yikes. Now, the other two guys obviously thought highly of him because Tatum ended up going at five. I have no problem with Luka. I have no problem with Zion Williamson. But right now, I got to have Donovan Mitchell. I got to have Jason Tatum. I got to have De'Aaron Fox. Devin Booker. And Trae Young and Jamal Murray in front of LaMelo Ball. Now, you could say, well, what about Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons, to me, could win Defensive Player of the Year this year. He is someone that creates a lot of opportunities. He's been an all-star multiple times. Ben Simmons, if the Sixers want to win a championship, and I know the Sixers are tied with the Nets right now in the East, the Sixers are going to need Ben Simmons to develop a jump shot. Because if not, you're going to be either relying on Joel Embiid late or you're going to be dishing to Tobias Harris. And Embiid's been great. Now he's back. And Tobias Harris has been good for the Sixers this year. But you know that the game in the postseason is a different game than the regular season. And I wonder how much of a factor Ben Simmons is going to be when you get later on into the postseason and you're going up against the elite teams like the Nets. Or like the Bucks, and the Sixers are one of those three elite teams in the Eastern Conference. So I have some problems with this list. You're never going to love everything that comes out on a list. But right now, I can't put LaMelo Ball at three, even though you're projecting into the future. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, one new Baltimore Ravens wide receiver had a whole lot to say. Can the Ravens win a Super Bowl this year with their current wide receiving core? We get to that next on the Zach Gelb Show, off and running on a Wednesday right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It takes guys getting open to be great and look great and be the Patrick Mahomes of the world and be Tom Brady and be all these other top quarterbacks. You got to have that number one receiver or that number two and that number three nowadays to go out there and be successful and literally throw the ball with your eyes closed and be unconscious. We can be a balanced offense and go out there and get open when we need to get open. I think Lamar can throw for those 4,000 yards or those 4,500 yards, 5,000, whatever these guys putting up. I think he can be that quarterback and be elite in this game.
That was Sammy Watkins. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Now, here's what I don't get. Lamar Jackson, there's a style that he plays. He could throw the football, and we know he could kill you with the legs. Is he the greatest passer you've ever seen? No, but he is a great player. I know that we dissect Lamar Jackson and put him under a microscope, and whenever he has a bad performance in the postseason, oh, he's done, oh, he's overrated. The guy is 24 years old, and ever since getting into the league, he's proven people wrong. He hasn't had the ultimate success because he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he's only 24 years old. And I had that first year where he takes over midway through the year towards the end of the season. They get to the playoffs. He had a disastrous performance up against the Chargers where people were calling for Joe Flacco to get back into the game. I actually like John Harbaugh in that moment not pulling Lamar Jackson because I thought that was a good teaching moment. And you were building for the future. Flacco wasn't going to win you the game. Then the year after that, they were the number one seed, and the entire team got embarrassed by the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And then this past year, they were a team that was hot and cold. They weren't beating the teams that they needed to impress to actually make a little impression in the regular season. And I remember when they lost to New England, and people were starting to say, oh, this team is done. This team isn't going to make the playoffs. I thought they were going to win out, and they did. And they end up getting 11 wins, and they make the postseason. So with all that did occur this year, with all the negativity surrounding the Ravens, a bad year for them this year was 11-5. And they make the playoffs, by the way. And not only do they make the playoffs, they go up against Tennessee. And when Lamar Jackson is down early, what's everyone saying? Everyone's thinking the same thing. Because what's the key going into every game? You don't want to play from down 10 points if you're Lamar Jackson. Because then you're going to have to make him throw the ball. You have to make him throw the ball more. And, I know, you know, he's not a great passer, but he's a good passer. Like, he could do enough to win in this league. He has to improve. A lot of quarterbacks that are 24 have to improve. Baker Mayfield can improve on things. You look around the rest of the league, there's a lot of quarterbacks that even they have success early and they need to improve on things. He comes back, he wins that game, and made some big plays up against the Tennessee Titans. And then the next week, what happened? Before he got knocked out of the game because of concussion, he threw a pick six to Taron Johnson. And that basically ended that game and put Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. When I look at the Ravens, though, I think you need to also remember two things from last year. And a lot of times, people right away, they go, everything's on the quarterback. It does seem, and I get that this is the sport and this is the nature of the business, but when we look at the NFL, we judge people when they lose off two things, or we judge two people when they lose. The quarterback, what did he do, and what did the coach do? When I look at the Ravens last year, Lamar Jackson was not their biggest problem. I think the biggest problem was the offensive line. Like, if you think about it, that offensive line, they lost Marshall Yanda to retirement. And then you had one of the best, if not the best, left tackles in the game go down with injury. Those are not easy pieces to replace. And that was a problem when you look back at the Ravens. And they were still able to go 11-5. And also, I look at the Ravens, and I see their wide receivers. And this is something I didn't like the Ravens' approach this offseason. They basically told you before the offseason started, don't expect us to be on a big-name wide receiver. Isn't it so important to surround your young quarterback with talent? I think it speaks volumes to the type of player Lamar Jackson is that he's won a league MVP without an elite wide receiver. Because what do we praise the Cardinals for? Oh, they got Kyler Murray, then they got Kyler Murray who? DeAndre Hopkins. What do we praise the Buffalo Bills for? Oh, they got Josh Allen, then they got Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. What if the Ravens, and the Ravens have a good culture, the Ravens have a good team, the Ravens have a solid roster, but if they didn't have Lamar Jackson, what would this team be? This team doesn't have elite offensive talent, other than at the offensive line spot with Ronnie Stanley, who's come back from injury. Kevin Zeitler is a solid player. And Orlando Brown Jr. wants out, but the offensive line doesn't sell tickets. Now, I like J.K. Dobbins. I thought that was a good draft pick. They have a solid run game with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards now with Mark Ingram with the Houston Texans. That wide receiver, though, what do you got? Mark Andrews, a good tight end? But your big move this offseason to go help Lamar Jackson was Sammy Watkins? You got Sammy Watkins, Marquise Hollywood Brown, who thinks he's a one and he's not. And you got Miles Boykins and Devin Duvernay. Like, nice wide receivers, okay wide receivers. None of those scream to me number one wide receiver. You look at Kansas City, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. You look at Tampa Bay, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. You look at Green Bay, Devontae Adams. You look at Buffalo, Stephon Diggs. I just went through teams that had a lot of success last year. If you go back to the AFC Championship game, look at the talent Rodgers has. And everyone says, oh, Rodgers doesn't have enough talent. He's Aaron Jones and he has Devontae Adams. Go look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have. Go look at what Kansas City has. Go look what the Buffalo Bills have. And that's what the Ravens are chasing. And the Ravens this offseason refused to go get a big-time wide receiver. I thought they should have been all in on Kenny Galladay. They elected not to do so. Even if it wasn't Kenny Galladay, you couldn't do better than bringing in Sammy Watkins. How about Curtis Samuel, who ended up going to the Washington football team? Why not bring him in? I think they need to do better by Lamar Jackson. Now, I'm not telling you Lamar is a perfect product. But if Lamar could still get better and he's already won an MVP, he's not the problem with that football team. And Sammy Watkins, talking about Lamar being a 4,500-yard passer, a 5,000-yard passer, that's not what Lamar Jackson needs to do. Because if you're doing that, then you're taking away. Maybe Lamar needs to get there later on in his career, but not now. What makes Lamar so lethal? What makes Lamar at his best? You don't know if he's running or if he's throwing. There's a reason why he's been over a 1,000-yard rusher two out of his 3 years in the league. If you're having him throw for 4,500 yards, 5,000 yards, come on. You're taking away all the run game. When I look at the Ravens need to go get Lamar Jackson, a number one wide receiver. And until they do that, and I like their defense, even though they lost Matthew Judon, they didn't pay him. I like their coach in Harbaugh. I like Lamar. I think he's a very good quarterback in this league. He has shown you greatness before. He's shown you elite play before, being an MVP. But when I look at the Ravens, do I think they're winning a Super Bowl right now? Do I think in the next 3 years they're winning a Super Bowl? No. I think they're going to be a team that's going to be close. They don't get the job done, though. Because look at who they're going up against, just in the AFC. Kansas City and Buffalo. Josh Allen's a better quarterback than Lamar, in my opinion. Patrick Mahomes, better quarterback than Lamar. But that's not the reason why Kansas City and Buffalo are going to beat the Ravens. The reason is, look at the talent that is also around those quarterbacks. So it's part of the reason, but look at what they're throwing to. Like, if you put Lamar Jackson on the Kansas City Chiefs, can Lamar Jackson win a Super Bowl? Yes. The Ravens need to be honest with themselves. The Ravens need to look into the mirror. And the Ravens need to get out of their comfort zone. And this offseason, they told you, we're not bringing in a big-time wide receiver. We're not bringing in a diva wide receiver. We're not bringing in a wide receiver that's going to be caring about his stats. All wide receivers care about their stats. Come on. Chase, when you look at the Ravens, I like Lamar. I need to see more consistency in the postseason. You know, even someone that's defending Lamar. Lamar, we all paint him out to be, or a lot of people paint him out to be, oh, he's, you know, it's all on Lamar Jackson. Is Lamar put in a position right now to win a Super Bowl with the talent that he has around him on the offensive side of the ball? Do you think that he'll win a Super Bowl in the next 2-3 years with what they currently have?
With their current roster, no, I'm with you. Just the receivers they have just aren't getting the job done. Not good enough.
And imagine if you get Mark Andrews hurt.
Yeah, oh, big trouble then.
If you get Mark Andrews hurt, that's such a big dynamic of what they do. It's just going to be J.K. and Lamar Jackson. Because Marquise Hollywood Brown, you could have got much better wide receivers, and you drafted him. And he was sounding off this year. Ravens got to do better by Lamar Jackson. In this league, we talk about it all the time. Lamar Jackson, you have a quarterback. You have a guy that's going to get an extension eventually. You need to take care of that quarterback, though, early and putting him in a good spot. And the Ravens have put him in a good spot. But just putting him in a good spot is going to do what? Playoffs, 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 win a game, and that's about it. You got to put him in a better spot. That's what the Ravens need to do. And I'm sorry, the wide receivers that the Baltimore Ravens have right now, they're just not cutting it. Now, I did get a tweet during the break. Very good point that was made from a listener that's listening to us in Charlotte. Ja Morant did not get respected on this list too, being at 15. We've seen almost 2 years now of Ja Morant. When you're projecting into the future, as much as I like LaMelo Ball, how are you telling me LaMelo Ball is at 3 on this list and Ja Morant's at 15? Man, people making this list, they love LaMelo Ball. I like LaMelo Ball, but there's a lot of people that were put after him that should not have been. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. Something's being said about Gonzaga after the national championship game, and I don't agree with it. I'll tell you what that is on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's our poll question today. Tonight on CBS Sports Radio, I will ask my producer, Ryan underscore Hickey 3, 10 sports-related questions that once appeared on Jeopardy. He set his own over-under on correct answers at 5.5. Over 5.5, under 5.5. Those are the two choices. 42.2% say that Ryan Trace Hickey will get over 5.5. And then 57.8% say under. You nervous at all, Trace, or you're all right just making a fool out of yourself if you end up getting like 2 right?
Both, if that's possible. Like, I've come to grips at this point that I'm awful at trivia.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I'm trying with the mindset to go in there to do well. So I am nervous that I'm not going to do well.
It's so much the mental component of it, really, with trivia. Because so much of it, you know the answers. Or a lot of times you know the answers. It's about how can you deal with the pressure? That is really how quickly can you deal with the pressure? And is it going to take you 3 or 4 questions to get into a groove? Or are you just going to be worrying because you're going to be embarrassed that if you get it wrong, you probably get trolled across the network? You got to have mental toughness here, Ryan Trasecki. We'll find out if you're mentally tough coming up later on in the program. All right, let me update you on the guest list today because we had to change some times around. Scott Drew's still going to join us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, the head coach of the national championship-winning Baylor Bears. At 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Texas A&M, formerly Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond's going to join us, and we will get you set, and he'll get us set for the NFL draft coming up later on in this month. And then at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, no closing bell today because we had to push back, or actually he had to push us back, Steve Sands. We will have a preview live from Augusta, Augusta National, a tradition unlike any other, the Masters, as we will have Steve Sands on, and that'll be a good final segment because he'll give us a read on the field, and maybe you could play some last-second bets before the Masters gets underway tomorrow early in the morning. I got to get back to the NCAA championship, and this will probably be the final day we really extensively talk about the NCAA championship. And yes, the game was, and I don't love calling it a dud, but with the way that it was marketed, the way that it was hyped up, and the reason why I don't like calling it a dud, I explained this early in the week, is for Baylor fans, there's nothing that was boring about that. There was nothing that was disappointing about that. For the rest of the country, though, we were expecting this to be a heavyweight fight, and it was a heavyweight fight, except Baylor threw a punch early, and you had a big-time knockout. And like, isn't that funny how in boxing, if that was a boxing match, yeah, you'd want to see a slugfest. Yeah, you want to see it go the distance. If you went into a heavyweight fight, though, or if it's a UFC fight, and someone just knocks someone out right away, or you just have some sweet chin music right away, that's an instant reaction that, boom, wow, I can't believe that guy just hit the pavement that quickly when we thought this thing was going to be a long fight. But when it happens in a basketball game, or it happens in a football game, or it happens in a hockey game or a baseball game, there's a certain amount of time that is allotted in those sports for football, for basketball, for hockey, and baseball, you know, it's a certain amount of innings that you still have to sit through. And yeah, there's always could be a crazy comeback. You know, there's always could be a 28-3 choke job by the Atlanta Falcons. However, with Gonzaga and Baylor, yeah, it got down to 10 at the end of the first half. And Gonzaga pulled to 10, and at one point they pulled within 9. You never thought, though, for any long stretch in that game, after the first 3-4 minutes, that Gonzaga was actually going to win. And that's why there's disappointment. That's why it's not the same as when you just have domination between two heavyweights in a boxing ring or in a UFC octagon, because you could have that immediate decision right there, even when it doesn't go as long as you think it's going to. When it comes to basketball, you had to sit through the second half. And there was something to be said about how impressive it was what Baylor did. You know, I go back all the time at Golden State with the Warriors. When they were winning championships, people said, oh, I'm tired of the Golden State Warriors. The season's so predictable. You know, it's going to be the Warriors going up against LeBron, and the Warriors are going to beat the Cavs. I was still in awe, though, with what the Warriors were able to do, because they made these ridiculous three-point shots. And you had to tip your cap and just appreciate the dominance, even though you may not love how that team was put together. With that individual game last night, or a Monday night with Gonzaga and Baylor, we were expecting it to be what? A two-possession game, a one-possession game, you know, three-possession game or under, with like 6-7 minutes to go. We thought that was going to be a close game where they were exchanging buckets all night, and that it was going to come down to maybe a buzzer beater, something crazy in the final 30 seconds, 40 seconds, like what we saw in overtime on Saturday night when Gonzaga Jalen Suggs hit that ridiculous shot from three. Ooh, onions, little kiss, double sauteed, as Bill Raftery would say. As he would say, and we didn't see that. So yeah, I get why it's disappointment. Why it's a disappointment. I get why when I get home, and I got home on Monday night, a few minutes before halftime, and you go, oh, man, I thought I was going to be all glued in on this national championship game, sitting on the edge of the cushion on my couch going, I can't control the palpable buzz here that you're watching. And we expected pandemonium, and we expected euphoria. And instead, it was just so lopsided. And you had to get dragged through the knockout. And that's what occurred. There was a knockout, except in basketball, the player gets back up. They let him be knocked out for 5 minutes. They get him back up, and then you still have to go back into the ring or onto the court and still continue to get beat down. Now, I see a lot of people in the aftermath go, Gonzaga choked. I vehemently disagree with that. Because when I look at the word choke and when I equate it to sports, that means you had a lead and you blew it. Gonzaga didn't choke on Monday. They just got destroyed at their own game. That's what happened. They got beat at their own game. They went up against a better team that a lot of people just didn't identify Baylor as the better team going into the game because of the fact what? Gonzaga had three All-Americans. They had three of the top 10 players in the country with Timmy, with Kispert, with Suggs. And after they won on Saturday, you kind of just, some people, not me, but a lot of people just expected Gonzaga to complete perfection, go 32-0, and finally Mark Few gets his NCAA championship. They didn't choke. They just didn't show up. There's a difference there. A choke to me is what Atlanta did in the Super Bowl. A choke to me is having a lead in a game that you should have won with what happened on the field or on the court, and you don't walk away with the victory. That's a choke. What happened with Gonzaga and Baylor was one team just beating the living snot and dominating the other team. Baylor beat the living snot out of Gonzaga. Baylor dominated Gonzaga. I don't look at that and go, wow, Gonzaga choked. And I get how maybe some are going to say, oh, they choked away an opportunity. They didn't choke away an opportunity. They blew an opportunity. They had a chance to go undefeated. They were not good enough. They didn't deserve to win the game. So I think that's the differentiating part for me. That's the difference for me. When I look at a sporting definition of the word choke, to me it means a game based off the results of the game that you should have won and you ended up not being able to seal off the deal and finish in the final few minutes. That's what happened. That, you know, that if that happened, let's say Gonzaga was up by 18 and then Baylor came back in the final 5 minutes, that would have been a choke. Failing to show up, though, whether it was from the euphoria of Saturday, whether Baylor just being a more physical team, the early foul trouble, not being able to live up to the moment. Those are all things, whatever excuse you want to hold on to, I don't walk away and say, man, Gonzaga really should have won that game. I don't. Because it was such a lopsided and a decisive victory for Baylor. And once again, if Gonzaga showed me they were the better team, and then let's say Timmy was at the line in a two-point game, let's say if Gonzaga was up by two with 40 seconds left, Timmy goes to the line, misses both free throws, and then Baylor hits a layup, ties the game, and then Timmy gets the ball back, gets hacked again, he misses, or let's say he splits free throws, and then Baylor goes, hits a game-winning shot, that would have been a choke. Because you would have missed three free throws, and you had a two-point lead with, what, 30, 40 seconds to go, a minute to go, whatever I said. Gonzaga did not choke. They didn't show up. And they missed an opportunity. There is a difference there. And I think we just throw around choke a little bit too easy right now. And I'm never afraid to tell you that a team chokes. I just don't view Gonzaga choking on Monday night. They just got beat by a better team and a better program and a team that was better coached and had the better team effort in the game, and it was a blowout. Take a timeout. We'll come on back. Zach Gelb Show, 5 minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Don't go anywhere. And when we do return, we'll get all the latest on Deshaun Watson and something I didn't like from Rusty Harden yesterday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.